So item number six is a secondary plan for the Waverly West Northwest neighborhood under file SP1 of 2010. The applicant is Veronica Hicks.
Okay, we have a Veronica Hicks. Okay, would the applicant please step forward, state your name and address for the record?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Paul McNeil. I'm with the MMM Group, and we are the applicant for the application. As part of our delegation here this evening, we also have Veronica Hicks from MMM, Jim Gallagher from Manitoba Housing, and Dwayne Runiak up above from Manitoba Housing, and Paul Sunderland from Stantec Engineering. I will be doing the primary presentation. The others are here to assist in any questions and detailed issues that may come up, if they do.
Sure. Thank you.
As you're aware, Mr. Chair, there are three related applications, and many of the comments we have are actually common to all three applications. But as I understand the process, we need to open, deal with the first application, close, open the second, deal with the third,
right,
is my understanding. Is that still the intent? So
that's
my apologies a little bit in terms of some of the redundancies, but in terms of the procedure, that's our understanding. So
we get the formal part about having to open them up and then close them, but obviously there's no need for you to go through all of the information.
Yeah.
All right.
Eventually we'll drill down to the subdivision.
Yeah.
That's fine. The way we've set it up is that there are three presentations. There is redundancy. I'll just flip through the redundancy part and get to the key issues. The three applications that are linked just before I start the presentation are area structure plans or neighborhood plans for the northwest neighborhood, and I'll pull these up on the slides in a minute, and the town center. With those neighborhood plans in place, that then gives the committee the opportunity to look at the detailed rezoning application, the DASZ, that comes forward for the neighborhood and the town center. So that's the sequence of the three plans, and I'll address each of those as we go forward. Go ahead. If you recall, and I'll just refresh your memory a little bit from the history on this, the City of Winnipeg, this community committee, and eventually council adopted an area structure plan for the whole Waverly West area, some 3,000 acres in total, that identified six primarily residential planning areas, neighborhoods A, B, C, D, and F, E and F, as well as a town center. Go ahead. A and C have been dealt with previously by the community committee. A is a Manitoba Housing neighborhood. C is the LADCO neighborhood. And the current applications deal with the North West neighborhood and the town center. So those are the issues we're dealing with tonight. Very quickly, past history on this, the whole area was addressed under Plan Winnipeg in 2005, redesignated from a rural policy area to a neighborhood policy area. The Waverly West Area Structure Plan was adopted the following year in July of 2006, and the Northwest Neighborhood Area Structure Plan later in that same year in 2006. With respect to this current application, we conducted an open house. We invited the neighborhood and the community to an open house in March of this year. And as I mentioned earlier, on the agenda for today are the three applications, the two area structure plans, as well as the rezoning and subdivision application. A little bit of background in terms of the timing and why we're here today. This is an illustration of the existing neighborhood that was approved before, the Northeast neighborhood, or the Bridgewater Forest neighborhood. I'm sorry that the colors are not as clear as they were on our screen, but essentially, if you can read that, phase one is complete, phase two is complete, phases three and four are being serviced this year, and that leaves phases five and six. And is that clear enough from where you are to follow that? Or? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Phase five, which is the lightest part in the middle, is essentially the area of the subdivision with the upscale lots, the ones backing onto the lakes, and it's more of a custom builder area rather than where most of the other builders are. So that will be absorbed over the next 2 years in that portion. And phase six, which is in the lower left-hand corner, corner has been set aside, and if you recall the last time we were back, the city's police shooting range is in that area, and we're working around that to accommodate the Winnipeg Police Service's need for that longer as they work through their plans to relocate. As a result of that, that corner will not be available to us and for development until sometime in 2012. Police services require that for another year and a half to be in that area. So that really puts us in a position.
We're just wondering how compatible the shooting range is with the type of residential development you have going on here.
Well, if any of the shells are going over the backstop, they're going a little further than the immediate neighborhood. They're already going up into the White Ridge area. But I think, as you're well aware, the police are very careful in terms of...
It's been there for a long time.
It has. Yeah. It does look a little odd that there'd be housing that close, but in fact, that housing is in a safer position than the housing further north because of the bullets don't drop that fast on the other side. The butts and the barricades in the back of this reach up about 30 feet in height, so it's not a small area. But that timing is all what's pushing the next subdivision. We expect to be going through the approval process through the balance of this year. Hopefully, with the approvals in place, we would then be servicing in 2011 for the first lots to be available late 2011 and the first occupancy of homes sometime in 2012. And so the land development process, as you are all well aware, has a fairly significant lead time to make sure that there aren't gaps in the process. And that's why there's some urgency in terms of dealing with the application now rather than later. Just to very quickly lay out a couple of things as well that you should be aware of. One of the consequences and benefits of this application is that it establishes the remaining and missing links in the right-of-way for the Keniston extension. The area that's a dark orange color, burnt orange color, were the areas of the right-of-way for Keniston that were previously established. The one on the top was established through the MHRC application a couple of years ago, and the right-of-way has been established by LADCO on the southern part, taking it down to the perimeter highway. So this application, in fact, fills in the gaps and will allow the extension of Keniston to take place, which you are probably aware of is one of the major initiatives of the city with the province and the federal government on the infrastructure program. Just to point out that when you build a major facility like that, land drainage is also a component of that, and the land drainage for the Keniston extension will be included in the ponds that are located within the town center. So that the two are linked and integral into the overall design.
Does it go anywhere outside of that, or is it all
internally dealt with?
I'm sorry, which, the land drainage?
Like in the rest of the development, we had the linkage, the sort of the lineal drainage system, we called it, or the I forget the exact term we used, but so those retention ponds, do waters flow out of there somewhere else?
Yes, they do, and they flow into that other system in the linear linkage that you've talked about.
Okay.
As well, as do the ponds that are shown in the northwest neighborhood. The darker areas in there are also retention ponds, and they tie into the other ponds.
And is there a green corridor with that?
Yes, there is, and I'll come to that in the explanation as we move forward. I just wanted to take a couple of minutes here to reiterate some of the core planning principles that we've been including in the design of the area, and I am going to dwell on this a little bit because this is a very important underlying principle of what we've been working with as we've developed the designs for these areas. And those include pedestrian connectivity. It's our intent to provide pedestrian linkages between and within the neighborhoods of Waverly West for recreation and alternative transportation purposes. That includes a greenway system, and that's to create linear greenway parks that link the neighborhoods of Waverly West to one another and beyond. And where naturalized land drainage systems, pedestrian trails, parks, and open spaces can be created in shared corridors, which I think comes back to your question, Councillor, and we'll get into the plans that show that in a little bit more detail. There are also community pathways to provide a system of pathways that effectively integrate the neighborhoods and the amenities within the neighborhoods, and in this case between the neighborhoods, so the residential neighborhoods and the commercial and other facilities in the town center. And then finally, to provide for a transportation system that provides a safe, efficient, and functional transportation system with a hierarchy of streets, and that also provides for the provision of public transportation and community pedestrian network. These are all principles that have been adopted by Community Committee and Council. These are not new principles that we're bringing forward. Those are the foundations on which we're doing our planning work as we move forward. Go ahead. And within that, in the community greenway systems, there are neighborhood and community land drainage systems that may be incorporated into the community greenway system. It should be designed to link the neighborhood community facilities, and the community greenway system should accommodate modes of active transportation where feasible. Keep in mind that these policies were written 4 years ago. It's really quite interesting to see what's happened in the city, particularly in the last 2 years, with respect to active transportation and AT systems. The city and the citizens of the city have really begun to embrace active transportation in a way, I think, that surprises many people. And we're thrilled to see that happening. Go ahead. We are also well aware of the current status of the Our Winnipeg document and the various components of that, and would just reiterate that the planning principles that we are adopting as we move forward with these area structure plans and the details, in fact, reflect many of those new directions and simply emphasize those areas for us as well.
We forgot sustainable water and waste.
We may have forgotten it, or it may have been a conscious oversight.
Well,
but that's very much part of the plan, yes. Go ahead. Again, I'm referring back to this is one of the illustrations and maps that was contained in the Waverly West area structure plan that was adopted, and it points out the overall community greenway system that includes in the upper right-hand corner the first neighborhood that moved forward. If you recall, there were several stands of high-quality forest within that area that MHRC chose to protect and integrate into that subdivision, and that included linkages through that area of the community greenway system, and there are pedestrian paths. But this is the primary link system in concept that does the loop through the whole Waverly West area that ties in all of the neighborhoods in the Waverly West area, as well as provides for provision up through the northwest corner that would eventually link back through Fort White Alive to Assiniboine Forest and to Assiniboine Park, and in the southeast corner, the link down through the Beaujolais Coulee that would eventually link through to the junction of the Red River and the LaSalle Rivers in St. Norbert. So this is part of a much larger concept in terms of a vision to be able to have a continuous connected greenway system that runs from Assiniboine Forest to St. Norbert. And the paths within the neighborhood are an integral part of that. Go ahead. So what we're looking at in terms of our overall vision, and this is the presentation that was put together for the North West neighborhood, but in fact, much of what I'm talking about is consistent, of course. We're going to talk briefly about land use within the residential areas, visitability, walkability, and parks and open space. And of course, those are all linked together. You can't deal with one independent of the other independently. Once again, apologize on the colors. It's interesting. It's different on our projector from this one. But the area that there are really only two land uses as described in the northwest neighborhood. The developed land will all be single family.
Well, can I just stop you for just to make sure we're on the same page? Bridgewater Lakes is right now the subdivision rezoning, which is part of the first secondary plan, Northwest Neighborhood.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I'm following you.
And again, if the colors had been a little better, this may have been a little easier to follow. But essentially within this neighborhood, and this is the Northwest Neighborhood, the only two land uses that we're referring to are single family. There are no multiple family sites in this area. They're incorporated in the town center, which I'll get to in a minute, and parks and open space within that, and that includes the provision for a school site. And we have met with the Pembina Trail School Division and worked out the details of a site that would meet their needs in the future. And so from a land use perspective, it's very straightforward.
That's the elementary to middle school that you're referencing?
I believe that's correct. Yes.
And that there is no consideration in any of this for the regional high school that's been talked about?
Not within this subdivision, but I can come back and talk to that issue. We have talked about locations for that.
I'll put you on the spot if it's not in this...
It's not in this area.
Okay.
I only remember responding in the sense that we've not forgotten about it. We believe there's a better location, and this is not not the most central and ideal location for that.
Just maybe, Paul, before you move off of that, I read in the I can't remember now, it was a subdivision of this document, that the school site would, if it's not used for a school, it would revert back to residential. So I'm assuming that when you're going through this process, that it will be zoned as some type of residential zoning?
I have a slide that I can come to at the end of the presentation that deals with that issue. And yes, one of the things we looked at is, in the event that the school division does not take up its option to purchase the site, is that we don't end up with a site that's then difficult to reconfigure for other uses. So the site has been designed so a portion of the site would end up as park, and the balance of the site would end up as single family. But the zoning currently is aimed at a school site, or it's a combination. All right, we'll get to that.
Okay.
The zoning will allow that. Go ahead. One of the really significant elements that we're working towards in terms of the design of this subdivision is a concept that some of you may be familiar with respect to visitable housing. And to make clear what we're talking about in visitable housing is housing that does not have barriers to people with physical disabilities or difficulty with mobility in terms of getting in and out of houses. This is not a local initiative per se. This is an initiative that we're seeing across North America, where many groups that advocate for the disabled within the community are making efforts to ensure that there are as few barriers within residential neighborhoods as possible to people who are visiting the neighborhoods or who live in the neighborhood and want to visit. And one of the principal elements of that, and it's really key to understanding this in terms of the design of the subdivision, is what that means in terms of how you build the house. The photograph on the left-hand side, which we identify as a visitable house, if you look at it, the front sidewalk leads directly to the front door. There are no steps or barriers for people to be able to get in and out of the house. The photograph on the right-hand side is a more traditional house, which most of us, in this case, it's a fairly high set of steps, but even in most subdivisions, there's typically three or four steps before you get to the front door. And so visitable housing, one of the key elements from a land development perspective, is to design the subdivision in a way that the builders can then build the houses to allow to have no barriers to get in the front door. There are two other key elements of visitable housing, but they are both elements that get built into the house. One of those is that the minimum door width on the main floor of the houses is 32 inches wide to allow wheelchairs to be able to go through, and that there be a washroom located on the main floor of the house. It does not mean that every builder has to build every house to be fully accessible to the handicap. What it says is that visitors to the house should be able to have access to the house. And so in many of these cases, there are two-story houses. That's recognized. It's not an attempt to create every house as a fully accessible house. The issue is to remove barricades to people within their communities of having a full interactive life within their own community and the ability to visit neighbors and not be locked into their own facilities. So that's a really key issue, and I'll speak to that a little bit in the design, because it has an effect in terms of how we design the subdivision. It means doing things a little bit differently. Go ahead, Veronica. The other really key element to this, and you may well remember me talking about this as we were here before, and that is that we have really focused on making these communities as walkable as possible. And that ties into very strongly held principles, both by our client, Manitoba Housing, as well as my own passion as a planner, and that is to make communities healthier communities by encouraging people to walk more within their communities. And by walking more, the intent and hope is that people would therefore utilize their vehicles less. Less use of vehicles means less greenhouse gas emissions, less carbon footprint. There's just a whole range of benefits for community as a whole. We really strongly and passionately believe that that principle of building in walkability into communities is the key to ensuring that people walk more within their communities. This is not about people not using their vehicle to get to work, etc. This is people who are able to walk within their communities to deal with their local shopping, schools, visiting within their communities. And that's a really key design element for us.
Just to pick up on that, Paul,
I know one time very early on in sort of the visioning and talking about what this area might look like, we envisioned flyovers getting across the extension of Keniston. You talked about pedestrian connectivity earlier. Even though the economics don't work with doing it for automobiles, is there any consideration for doing it for pedestrians?
It has been built into the design of the two neighborhoods, but at this point it is not part of what's being proposed for the actual development of the pedestrian bridge. But if I can approach the screen for a second.
Sure.
Are we talking about flyovers here?
Like, you know the Charleswood Parkway where they've got the pedestrian that... the pedestrian bridge that goes over the Charleswood Parkway? That's the type of thing that I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Because like, so much of the activity, so much of what makes this a complete community happens in that town center.
I can't quite picture, but the system we're talking about follows the lake system up there is designed for a future connection across to a similar green space over here at the parking center. So there's not a proposal on the table.
So you've left enough land there that you would be able to ramp and meet the grade requirements for a complete universal design?
Yes, the other ones would be worked at along that spiral ramp that would come up
right.
Two sides, so rather than being a long ramp, two sides, a hard ramp, it's like you're able to have a smaller footprint still to the universal design.
Do the economics change much when you're doing it spirally as compared to... No? Okay.
So, Paul, how does that differ from one of our traditional subdivisions? Just
when it comes down to it, Councillor, the difference is building sidewalks and residential streets as opposed to not building them.
More sidewalks.
It's really about sidewalks.
There's no mixed use warrant in the...
Not in this part of that. I'll get to that. The town center is very much mixed, but in this area, this is much more traditional single family, but single family built in with the design criteria of visitable lots within that area. But no, not mixed use.
At one time, Paul, early on, we talked about, I think it was in the area where the visitable homes are, the idea of having a path behind the houses. Is that still?
I'll come to that, and that's okay. Part of that as well.
So maybe we should just stop asking questions and let you roll along here.
Yeah, hurry up.
Sorry, I do tend to be a little long-winded on these issues, but for the record...
Yeah, with a bit of knowledge, Paul.
Okay, go ahead. Again, I just want to refer you back. I showed this slide a minute ago, but this is important to understanding the next element of this. Go ahead, Veronica. When we talk about walkability and connectivity... Oh, thanks, Bruce. Walkability and connectivity, there are several elements of that. The first one is the primary AT network. Can you just back up for a minute, Veronica? And what's shown in blue is the primary AT network that runs along parallel to the regional streets within the area. So the regional streets are Keniston and Bison. And the AT network, if I can distinguish the difference between the AT network and some of the recreational trails, the typical cyclist on an AT network is trying to get from point A to B as efficiently as they can, whether that's going to school, whether it's going to the university or work, etc. So the AT trails follow the regional streets. They are separated, but they run parallel. These are asphalt paths. Go ahead. There's another element within the subdivisions themselves, and those are pathways that are developed within the green areas, and in this case, particularly the linear retention ponds that are within the area. So there's a whole series of pathways that provide loops within the neighborhood that allow people to walk within the neighborhood. And finally, the next element of this are walkways. And the walkways are widened asphalt pathways, but that are not within green spaces, so within areas that are specifically created for linkages. And is there a fourth element, is that? And linking that back then into the overall Waverly West Community Greenway Plan, which was the larger whole area, there's an overlay of the pathways and active transportation systems that are part, that form part of that much larger regional system. So it's a combination. It's sort of a lot of data, but it's when we're looking at this from a connectivity and encouraging walking element, there's two elements of it. One is to encourage people to go out in their neighborhoods and take a stroll in the evening through a pleasant environment. The other is sometimes as direct as you can get to other facilities to make that as efficient as possible. And I would like to say feedback that we're getting from builders who build within the subdivisions and their customers is that one of the most highly valued features in a lot of the new subdivisions are the walkway systems. And the City of Calgary did a very extensive survey of the residents in Calgary to ask them how they use facilities.
Do you have a nice comparison to Calgary rule in this room?
All I was going with that is that the citizens of Calgary identify their walkway systems as one of the highest used by most citizens within the areas. And so I think these are really valuable additions to our subdivisions and our communities. Go ahead, Veronica. Just to reiterate then, the green area within here, and this shows both the Northwest neighborhood and the town center, there are extensive greenway systems with a focus right in the center of creating a large area for active sports activities. So that's being taken into account. And then also a combination of the linear walkway systems for more recreational walking. So both have been accommodated in the overall plan. Go ahead. Okay, that was the presentation specifically on the Northwest neighborhood, and I'm going to go through the next slides. Many of them are redundant, so we'll just flip through them very quickly to get to the specifics of the town center.
Good.
Just, Paul, yes.
This is talking about amending the plans. Is it just that this is a new plan that forms part of the area structure plan? Is that what you mean by amending?
Yes. Okay. The overall area, Waverly West Area Structure Plan, which was for the 3,000 acres, did not drill down into detail. It talked about high design principles. This level of what we're talking about here drills down into more details with each neighborhood. And so if you were to compare the two documents, they're complementary, but there's more detail contained with
it. So there's no amendments required in the original area structure
plan? No, we're not.
This is totally consistent.
Good.
And
that's correct.
Good. Just want to make sure everybody's clear on that.
That's correct. Okay, do we have the next one loaded up?
That radial design is a la fa. That's the inspiration for that radial design, eh? That's interesting.
The radial design is really, in some respects, what we're looking at, and maybe I'll get to that a little bit more in the subdivision, but it's...
I'm just waiting for Veronica to get the thing, so I thought we'd kill some time.
Okay.
I'm just impressed that Gordon knew you said.
Veronica's question is, and I think we've already dealt with it, we'll present and do all three, and then you'll come back and deal with the mechanics of how to deal with the three applications.
No, we've got to approve them as you go.
So if you're done on
it's
the...
It's not a combined hearing we're dealing with.
Okay, then okay. That's... So, Veronica's correct.
Do we have anybody else
asking questions?
Well,
go through like a separate hearing. I'll throw the names.
Let me take control of this meeting here.
Good. Take control there, Deb.
What in God's name are you doing, Councillor?
Okay, Veronica Hicks in support. You're there. Paul McNeil. Paul Sunderland. Paul, I knew that. Jim Gallagher. All in support. We have some people here for information. First of all, do we have any more questions for Mr. McNeil or any of his team on phase one, which is...
They can come back in rebuttal.
Pardon me?
You may want to ask questions in rebuttal as well.
Sure, but are there any more questions for Mr. McNeil now?
I will get into the details of the specifics of the rezoning application. This is really dealing with the broader
principles. Item 6, secondary plan,
right.
Northwest neighborhood.
Correct.
Okay, so we have a couple of people in delegations for information. David and Gladys Penner for information on the Waverly West Northwest neighborhood secondary plan. You're fine? You could come down and make a presentation so that your issues could be addressed, or you can just...
Okay.
And second, for information, Brock Feenstra and Lauren Lange. Would you like to come down and make a presentation on the Northwest Neighborhood Secondary Plan, or would you like to... You're fine? I was looking at the wrong couple. Sorry.
Just for clarification, they're staff with our company, so it's...
You may want to get just signed up in support next time.
Okay. Lesson learned. First lesson learned.
Okay, is there anybody else who hasn't signed one of these forms that would like to present in this hearing?
Okay. Here,
okay. So,
I guess... there isn't much of the recommendation other than that we accept the report. So I'm assuming you're comfortable with the report. I think where we're going to get to this is when we drill down to the subdivision rezoning. So I don't have any more questions. I think, you know, what I'm seeing is good, and I know we're somewhat limited by the economics of what goes on. I raise the issue of the pedestrian overpasses because I think it's something that we will need to address as we go forward, probably more so the city as than the developer, because it, okay, those types of things.
Thank you, Councillor. Paul, is there anything else you'd like to say for
No, not on this application. I'll get into the others.
You take control and then you go right overboard.
Anyway.
I'm ready to move a motion, Councillor.
Let's move on.
Okay. Let the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor? Contrary, carried.
I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor? Contrary, carried. And